Thanks for joining us on episode 1414 of the Inspired Stewardship Podcast.
I'm Brandon Davis. I challenge you to invest in yourself, invest in others, develop your influence, and impact the world by using your time, your talents, and your treasures to live out your calling. Having the ability to get over yourself is key, and one way to be inspired to do that is to listen to this, the Inspired Stewardship Podcast with my friend, Scott Mader. Because I realized it was a mindset. So if you can learn to simply control your mindset and say, I'm going to get over myself, despite what trial I go through in my life, despite whatever difficulty I have, despite how many times I fail, despite how many times I'm rejected, despite, whatever happens inside of my life, if I control my mindset, I'll be able to do anything I want.
Welcome and thank you for joining us on the Inspired Stewardship Podcast. If you truly desire to become the person who God wants you to be, then you must learn to use your time, your talent, and your treasures for your true calling. In the Inspired Stewardship Podcast, you will learn to invest in yourself, invest in others, and develop your influence so that you can impact the world.
In today's podcast episode, I interview Brandon Davis. I asked Brandon about his journey as a young entrepreneur to build several businesses. I also asked Brandon to share why he believes we often need to get over ourselves. And Brandon also shares how his faith and experiences leads him now to focus on building others up. I've got a new book coming out called Inspired Living, Assembling the Puzzle of Your Call by Mastering Your Time, Your Talent, and Your Treasures. You can find out more about it and sign up for getting more information over at inspiredstewardship.com, Inspired Living. That's inspiredstewardship.com, Inspired Living. Brandon Davis knew he wanted to be an entrepreneur from a young age when he sat watching ABC's Shark Tank on TV. He was fascinated with the idea of starting his own businesses to help people improve their lives in all capacities. Although Brandon is still young, he has successfully grown three different businesses: Hoover Davis Landscaping, U Country Christmas Lights, and Get Over Yourself LLC. Brandon is now working full-time on his tech startup, Interval. Along his journey of entrepreneurship, Brandon recognized that so many individuals around him were letting their own self-limitations and fear of the unknown stop them from chasing their dreams and diving in headfirst. Since seeing this pattern, Brandon has made it his mission to build up those around him and help them learn how to get over themselves. That's the message he spreads today. In his free time, Brandon enjoys spending time with his wife, watching baseball, and working out. Welcome to the show, Brandon.
Hey, thanks, Scott, for having me. I'm excited to get to know you a little bit more in the audience.
Absolutely. It's good to have you here. I shared the intro, and I always joke and say that when we share intros or bios or when someone introduces us, it's always like the Instagram photos, right? We make sure we frame and get the dirty laundry out of the back of the picture. So let's talk a little more about what's behind your story. You're a young guy, and yet you've been starting a bunch of businesses. You've done a lot of different things. What brought you to this point in your life?
Yeah, obviously from the bio, a lot of the listeners will know this by now, but when I was growing up, one of my favorite traditions when I got home from school, my dad got home from work, was to sit on the couch. He's a busy guy, so he'd pull out his laptop and he'd keep working. But one of his big priorities was making sure he still spent time with the kids, aka me and my siblings and then my mom, that's a whole topic in and of itself. Great leadership quality there, in my opinion. But one of my favorite traditions him and I had is he'd get home, he'd sit on the couch, he'd still work, but we'd turn on ABC Shark Tank. If it wasn't the Dodger game, we'd be watching ABC Shark Tank. And I just remember when I was watching that show with him, I was just enthralled. It's just these so-called average citizens, somebody you could sit next to on a bus, somebody you could walk past in a grocery store, somebody who could be at your local church. You would have no way of knowing. It's just these average people who somehow start something amazing that is changing the world. And it could be a simple product. It could be a massive service, but in some way or some fashion, they are making somebody's life easier. And I remember watching that as a kid with my dad and thinking, wow, I want to do that. I want to be like those guys. And ever since then, I've just been obsessed with business.
So what did your dad do, if you don't mind sharing?
Yeah, he's an attorney.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Business related. So very busy guy, obviously. Works with a lot of businesses. And so growing up, he's just been bouncing all over the place and whatnot. But I will jump into this principle now. And I hope to frame my entire life like this when I have kids one day, when me and my wife start deciding to go down that path. But despite being incredibly busy, he always made the time to make it to the sports events, to be there for me when I needed him. Heck, I got in a car wreck last week and I had a couple random insurance questions. He was on the phone within a couple minutes helping me. And I just want to shout him out for that aspect, because a lot of my framework, I believe, comes from his great example. And I want people to be able to applaud that these days. I feel like the narrative on social media, it's funny you brought up that whole like perfect image of like,
oh yeah, that's what we do. We only share the good stuff.
We share the good stuff. But I feel like in today's world, sometimes the good stuff people make fun of. People make fun of like the families that are connected together. I love my parents. I truly believe I'm one of the most blessed people on this earth for the parents I was raised with. And a lot of times on social media and stuff these days, people make fun of that. So as part of my message, I wanted to share with people today, no, like to be an inspired leader. And in your case, you're trying to guide people to have their inspired life. You have to be a good person. You have to be willing to set aside some work to go help somebody else when they need it the most.
Yeah. One of the frameworks that I talk about is invest in yourself, invest in others. Part of investing in others is also taking care of the people, your family, the people around you. I actually had about an hour long conversation with my son not too long before we jumped on this interview about he's setting up his 401k at work and doing the, when we just walked through, here's what those options mean and here's what you want to think about. And just anyway, so it's, I know what you're talking about. It's, and as I will tell you, not going to put words in your dad's mouth, but as a dad, having a son that still wants to reach out and ask those questions and everything is also a great honor from the parent side too.
I believe it. I believe it. I'll know soon enough when my wife and I start having the kids. Yeah. But
it does change. It does change over time. It changes the relationship. So you're always interested in business, but a lot of folks watch Shark Tank or think about starting a business or, oh, one day I'll start a business. But you started it pretty young. How old were you when you started your first business?
So I was a junior in high school when I first started my official first business, when I actually like registered it with the state, created my first LLC. I grew up in Southern California near the Mexican border a little bit. And so that was my first ever official business, obviously growing up in grade school, since I was so mesmerized by the thought of business. I'd find little ways to sell posters or pencils, whatever kind of random things. But yeah, the first registered business, nothing crazy special. I had an old pickup truck that I bought for a couple thousand bucks, and I had a buddy who had a bunch of lawn mowing equipment. I've been cutting grass for my grandparents for just years upon end. He's a very hardworking guy, my friend as well. And so we just looked at each other one day and we're like, in high school, what do you use a lot of your money for? We used it for eating fast food and taking girls out. And so we said, we need more.
Sometimes at the
so
same time.
Most of the time at the same time. And so we said, we need more money for exactly that. And so we combined his lawnmower and my pickup truck, and we started going door to door. And after a couple of weeks, we're like, wow, we actually got something going here. And so we registered the business and we started going door to door and just pitching our landscaping, cut their grass, trim the trees. Once again, nothing fancy about it, very simple, but that's how we started making our first truly our own dollar bills, not through some other business, but that was our own work. And that's one of my proudest moments too, even though it was something so simple. And looking back, it's not like I sold that business for tons of money or anything like that, but that's how we got our first work and I was proud of it.
Yeah, absolutely. It is something to be proud of. And it's something that a lot of young men and young ladies can start with too. It's accessible. It's something that you really don't need $10 million to start that business. You can do it pretty cheap, pretty down and dirty. One of my friends from Florida actually started a business when he was in high school, doing exactly that, cutting lawns and whatnot. He actually sold his lawn care business about 10 years ago for $32 million. it did grow into a monster of a business over, you know, decades, obviously.
Yeah.
He's much older now, but he got to that point. So as you went through this and started diving into business and things. You've also started a podcast, Get Over Themselves, or Get Over that expression of get over yourself, get over that. Where did that come from? Where did that idea of getting over yourself come from?
Yeah, funny story, but back when I was about 12 years old, I was back in middle school, and I remember a lot of my stories stem from when I was younger. I'm a guy who likes to reflect on his past and try and grow upon himself a lot.
So okay, just for everybody that's listening, he's still young, okay?
I should have framed it with that, but still, it's a matter of opinion on that one, right?
It's all relative, yeah.
There you go. So I just remember back when I was about 12 years old, back at the time, what are some of the biggest things you could worry about as a young middle school kid? You worry about if you got a good grade on the test, if you're good for your teacher, how good you were in sports that week or in some kind of musical instrument. If you have
whether your friend was still friends with you tomorrow.
Whether if your friends are still friends, your crush likes you back. There's like very little stress in a young kid's mind, despite what's going on at home, despite what's going on around the community, the country, the world. Like a young kid's mind is pretty dang straightforward when it comes to stress. And I remember looking at that and I saw many of my friends where they do bad on the test or their crush didn't like them back or every single example we just named. And I remember hearing them and they would be complaining and like any kid does. That's the nature of a kid, to learn and to grow and complain and figure it out. But it started off as a joke where I would tell them, hey, it'll be fine. Get over yourself. You got a bad grade on the test. Get over yourself. Oh, she doesn't like you back. Get over yourself. Something so simple, but as I developed that over the next couple of years and going into my adulthood and eventually going out of the country, living in Brazil for a while and starting my first couple of businesses, I realized that this phrase of get over yourself was so much more impactful than I originally meant it to be. The so-called joke I had at the beginning, because I realized it was a mindset. So if you can learn to simply control your mindset and say, I'm going to get over myself, despite what trial I go through in my life, despite whatever difficulty I have, despite how many times I fail, despite how many times I'm rejected, despite whatever happens inside of my life, if I control my mindset, I'll be able to do anything I want. And I've lived by that principle ever since. And I still live by it. And I preach it on my show and I preach it to anyone who will listen, because I truly believe anybody on this earth as a human being who has life, who has a soul, who has blood running through their veins, can do whatever they want if they put their mind to it.
Mm-hmm. Speaking of you mentioned soul there. And one of the things that I like to highlight for folks is how our journey through faith, whatever that may be, however that's expressed, intersects with the rest of our life. Can you share a little bit about how your faith journey has intersected with the way you look at business, the way you look at other people, and what you do?
Definitely. And I'm glad you asked this question, because it's something we can overlook a lot of times. And I never want to become like Mr. Preaching Religion or anything on somebody else's platform, but faith is everything to me. I grew up Christian. I'm Christian to this day. And so whenever I face a tough situation, it's a very simple answer. I get on my knees and pray. And that's part of the way I get over myself. It's setting aside what I personally believe is correct, my human brain, what I can comprehend, and say, hey, this is what I think I'm going to do. God, do you agree with me? Sometimes he'll let me have free reign. Sometimes he'll slap me silly and say, no, this is what you got to be doing. Sometimes he'll correct me. Sometimes he'll let me make some mistakes and figure it out along the way. But overall, my faith is everything to me. And without it, I wouldn't have any guidance. And putting that into my business practices and going along with faith, I've been able to work with some people who are amazing, some people who are a little bit more shady, and just trying to figure out, okay, if God was in my exact situation, what would he do right now? And being able to do these types of practices and recognizing, all right, even though it's a little bit different in our day and age, I can still go back to the scriptures and recognize, all right, this is what Jesus taught, and this is what I'm going to try and do my best. And obviously I'm working on it. Every single person on earth is, but it's a practice at the end of the day.
Mm-hmm. I love that you say that it's a practice, and echoing back to what you said earlier about the mindset thing, part of it is that mindset, it sounds like, that comes to you from your faith background is, wait a minute, I don't have to have all the answers. I don't have to get it right all the time. Even out of a problem can come something that I can learn, or a lesson. You said God sometimes lets you learn a lesson. That sounds like that's related to that philosophy of get over yourself, at least for you, to some level.
Oh, it totally does. And it's hard. It's a very humbling fact at many points, and all of us have to do it. But and I'll be the first to admit, like, sometimes I'm afraid to admit when I'm wrong. I'm afraid to say it all. And I don't think that'll ever come completely naturally to anyone, but just like I mentioned, it's practice little by little.
Mm-hmm. No, yeah. Humility is not something that we ever achieve perfectly. What's the old joke, right? I have perfect humility. By saying that, you're proving that you don't. That idea of feeling like you've got something mastered kind of proves that you don't at some point. So you've had the joy of running several different businesses, of starting businesses and then sometimes shifting them out or closing them down or moving to the next thing. From your point of view, when you think about starting a business or growing a business, what are some of the big mistakes that you think we make when it comes to thinking about business?
So there's a couple things that first come to mind. First off, since I am still young, I'm only 22 years old. I'm trying to experience a lot of different things. So when it comes to business, I wouldn't say my method of doing this is right by any means. If you're further down the road, I don't think you should necessarily do this. But if you're young and you still have a little bit of risk factor in you, or even if you're older and you just want to try something new, whatever kind of idea keeps you up at night, whatever one that's coming in your thoughts when you're showering, when you're at the gym, when you're passing by, when you see the pain point inside of your life, when you notice it on the street, go and chase that idea. It could be a horrible idea, but go and chase it just to get started. Go and chase it. I've had so many businesses that have failed. I've had three pretty successful ones that I talk about, and I'm working on my fourth right now, but I've had a million in between there that have completely failed. But what I like about this principle is, obviously, if you want to like have a successful business, there's a lot more due diligence to go in with it. But just the principle of getting started has a lot of merit because it'll get the balls rolling. It'll get the train moving down the tracks, and it'll help you eventually achieve what you want to do. And that's hard for a lot of people. You can't just go in with your initial thought process, your initial idea for the most part, and just immediately have a $1 million company. It's naive to say that you will. So if you can just get started on something, even if it pans, it totally stops after 2 months because it failed, you at least started and now you have a little bit more momentum going into the next one. Then my other issue I have for being a little bit younger and just trying to experience a lot of different types of business, in the future. So my thing is I like starting a business, working on it for a few years. If I can get somebody to buy it, great. If I can't, I eventually just close it out so I could try something new. That's probably my biggest downside, but also my biggest potential right now, because I'm just trying to dabble in so many different industries. It's been able to teach me a lot, but also been able to humble me as well.
And one of the things that I encourage people to do is what I call experiment with the margins. And what I mean by that is, let's say you are a little older and you're at that point where, okay, wait, I can't just quit everything I'm doing and start my next dream. Yeah, but what can you do to play with it at the edges of your life? And then if you get the data that, hey, this is actually working, okay, now put more time and energy into it. And you could still, you'd have that same philosophy of experimentation without necessarily having to go all in too. And you're, again, like you said, if you're young and you're at a point where that's not a problem, nothing wrong with going all in. But if you aren't, you can still experiment in those margins and those edges. Because the truth is, until you get started, like you said, you never know in your head whether it's going to work or not. Until you get it out in the real world, that's when you find out whether or not an idea is really worth it or not. Even look at Shark Tank. Go back to your example of Shark Tank. People bring those great ideas on. The sharks invest in them a lot of times, or you know, buy the idea. Some of those ideas never, ever actually come to fruition and go to market because...
No, not just some of them, Scott. The majority.
The vast majority. Yeah. And because at the end of the day, it ends up being, nope, not going to work anyway. And yet they still, quote, won on Shark Tank. It sold their idea. So, yeah, absolutely. What about, let's go back to the idea of you were talking to your friends about get over yourself. Were you the go-to guy that people came to whenever they were struggling with things? Or were you, or for your friends, or were you not?
Probably quite the opposite. Depending on the person. So I'm a kind of put it bluntly sort of guy. So if like, something's going wrong in somebody's life, people know exactly what I'm going to say at this point. I tell them to get over themselves and work it out. And my wife, she'll get mad at me sometimes when she goes, no, I need practical advice. I'm like, that kind of is in my opinion. But so it depends on the person. If somebody wants a very blunt honesty and just like straightforward, all right, I'm gonna cut you dry right here, then sure, they'll come to me. But for the most part, a lot of people will see that as a downside. And to each their own. I tried to frame my platform now as a way where people are open for communication. I've tried to teach that to myself as well, where you can't just shove something down somebody's throat, but you have to guide somebody into that. And that's what you're really good at, Scott, is trying to lead people. And that's definitely one of my weaknesses that I've had for a while that I've been trying to get better at, is trying to understand other people's perspectives, realize that we all have our brains hardwired in different ways, trying to think, okay, just because I have that inner go, Mr. It'll be fine, just tell me how it is, straight up mentality. My wife's not like that. Some of my best friends aren't like that. So I have to try and work around what people have and what will connect with them, even though I'm still at the end of the day trying to share the same message of get over yourself, but trying to do it in a way that will connect better with them.
Mm-hmm. With that in mind, if somebody out there heard you a few minutes ago saying, okay, I've got a business idea, I've got something that I wish I could do, Brandon's here telling me just go get started, but they really are nervous about that, they're not confident about it, they're worried about it, what advice would you give them?
So confidence is an interesting factor, because I don't believe it starts in one moment and ends in another. It's a continually growing. It's like a virus. It's constantly spreading, constantly growing. And so what I see confidence is, you're constantly on the pursuit of trying to gain it. And so depending on what you're working on in the moment, you could have a little bit more of it, or you could have absolutely none. And we all have fears inside of our life. One of the biggest things I talk about on my show is getting over your self-limitations and fears. And so I gave an example about 5-6 months ago. I was down in Lake Powell in Arizona for my cousin's bachelor party. My cousin's getting married. And so a big group of us head down to Lake Powell. We're on a houseboat, we're riding jet skis, amazing time. And I'm with a group of people that thinks for some reason, jumping off a cliff is extremely exciting, jumping into the water. I'm not one of those people. I hate jumping off cliffs and jumping into water. And I remember I got up to the very top and everyone's jumping off, and we were doing this big group countdown, and they said 3, 2, 1, everyone jump but me. I'm sitting at the very top. I'm like, I can't do this. I am terrified. I'm not even afraid of heights. It's like that weird feeling you get in your stomach when you're dropping. And I said, I can't do it. So they're all at the bottom making fun of me and chirping and whatnot and saying, oh, brother, he didn't do it. And I remember thinking to myself, if I don't do this, I'm going to be letting myself down, not in a form of peer pressure, because I literally saw people just go ahead and jump off. It wasn't that high up and I knew I was going to be safe. And so I did it. And so I share that story in an effort to say that confidence is constantly brewing inside somebody. Going back to your business example here, Scott, if you want to start a business, you will not have a lot of confidence at the very beginning in many aspects, but just dipping your toes in the water and progressively getting a little bit more into the journey step by step. Maybe on that cliff I jumped off of, maybe it was 10 feet tall the first time. The next one I got up to 20 feet, then 30 feet, then 40 feet. It's step by step. So just dip your toe in the water and get started, because you're always going to have that excuse of, I'll start tomorrow, I'll do it later down the road, I'll do it when I'm more prepared. But the best time to start something is today.
Mm. Yeah, that's funny. I think most people would go, wait, young guy started multiple businesses, he's got to be super confident. And yet here is an example of where that kind of confidence didn't spill over into that moment. You were still able to do it, though, because you've also got that habit and that mindset of being able to say, wait a minute, why am I not doing this? And examine what was going on and then think yourself through it, so to speak. That's an interesting example. What do you think, when you think about your platform and the message that you're trying to share into the world, if you had to sum it up, what do you think is the most important thing that you want people to get out of hearing get over yourself?
I mean, I just stated it, but my biggest pet peeve here on this earth, I have two major ones. One is when somebody says the words, I can't. When they say, I cannot, my wife knows that is a bad word. That is a word we do not use in our household. When I say, I can't blank blank. So that's one of my biggest pet peeves that I speak on the platform, to try and help everyone overcome that and change their mindset from I can't to maybe some other phrase inside of their life. Then the other one is the principle we already talked about, waiting, not because it's the smart thing to do, but out of fear. Waiting to start the business because you fear it might not take success, and then blaming that on the fact that you're ill-prepared. I'm an Eagle Scout. I am fully behind the concept of be prepared. But at some point, you have to stop saying I'm preparing and recognize that you're just holding yourself back and you need to jump into it. So I'm all for making the preparations. I'm not saying if you're starting a business, you should just jump immediately in just because you wanted to do it. No, do some due diligence if that's better for you. Take some validation. Go talk to your customers. Figure out the pain point. This is it. For a business to actually succeed, that's what it'll take. And then same with your fitness journey or whatever else you're working on in your life. I'm not saying you should immediately go from never running to running 15 miles a day. That's ridiculous. You're going to burn out. You're going to get injured. But what I am saying is don't over-prepare yourself where you keep telling yourself, okay, I'm just going to stretch for another hour and then I'll go on my run. Okay, I'm gonna go talk to my friend who runs for the 15th time and just make sure I have my proper technique. Oh, now I got to go order my new running shoes. No, there's always going to be something holding you back. So eventually you got to plunge into that water.
Mm-hmm. When preparation becomes procrastination, so to speak.
Exactly.
So I've got a few questions that I like to ask all of my guests. But before I ask those, is there anything else about the work you do or what we've been talking about today that you'd like to share with the listener?
Yeah. So overall, I'd like to share that at any point in your life, there's going to be things holding you back. Scott, your trials that you face inside of your life are completely different from the trials that I faced. My trials are completely different from whoever's listening to this podcast today. Everyone is going through their own situations, their own difficulties, whether it be work, relationships, spiritual life, physical life. Everyone's going through something. And once again, to throw in my kind of Christian plug there, I believe there's only one person who can ever truly fully understand that, and that's Christ. But taking it away from the kind of spiritual side for anyone who's not into that, I want to say there's no one who quite understands exactly what you're going through. There's people who can relate. Scott, if you and me have both lost a relative, we'll both understand the feeling of loss, we'll be sad about it. But your relationship to whoever your relative was is completely different than my relationship. Whatever point somebody's on, try and support them in that journey, but also recognize everyone goes through something and you're not, this may be harsh to say, but you're not unique in that way. Everyone goes through difficulties. So trying to put the blame on the world and trying to make yourself a victim isn't going to help anything. At some point, you got to put on your big boy pants and just get through it because you have to, not because anyone's making you, but because you have to.
Mm-hmm. So my brand is Inspired Stewardship, and I run things through that lens of stewardship. And yet that's one of those words, kind of like leadership and other words, that means a lot of different things to a lot of different people. Mm-hmm. So when you hear the word stewardship, what does that word mean to you?
I was about to ask you specifically why you chose stewardship over leadership. But what kind of comes to mind, being a steward over somebody isn't just leading them. That's why we have the difference between leadership and stewardship. Stewardship is more of a guidance, is what I picture with it. Somebody who's not even just like telling all the troops what to do, but they're rallying around them and they're saying, all right, I'm going to work from the front with you and I'm going to guide you along this entire process. Despite it maybe taking longer or being a little bit of a harder journey, I'm going to be there right with you. But I'd love to hear your take on it specifically, Scott.
So stewardship, the quote unquote technical definition, is to manage something that you do not own. And so for me, leadership has an implication to it of ownership or control, where stewardship is acknowledging the fact that ultimately I'm not the one in control. I may have stewardship over it. I may have responsibility for it. I may have things that I am, you know, accountable to, but I'm not the owner of. So I'm able to have that distance from, again, like I said earlier, I am a bit of a control freak, right? Hi, my name is Scott. I'm a control freak. I've started a 12-step program for that. That kind of thing. And because of that, having that outlook of not being able to recognize that ultimately I don't have to be the one in control, but it's still mine to take care of.
Love it. That's beautiful.
So this is my favorite question, Brandon, that I love to ask everybody. Imagine for a minute that I invented this magic machine. And with this machine, I could pluck you from where you are today and transport you into the future, maybe 150, maybe 250 years. But through the power of this machine, you were able to look back and see your entire life see all of the connections, all of the ripples, all of the impacts you've left behind. What impact do you hope you've left in the world?
So overall, there's a good quote. I believe it was by Thomas Monson, and he said that the lack of failure inside of the home, and this is a paraphrase, so nobody quote me directly on this, but something along the lines of, if you fail at home, you have failed overall. So putting home is got to be the most important thing. And I have always struck with that. We've mentioned a couple of times, I'm not a father yet on this podcast, but my true impact I want to leave on the world is my future kids, making sure that they are good examples, that they're nice to people, that they're trying to make a better world for themselves. I believe if every single family focused solely on making sure their offspring was doing what was respectable and what was correct and what was ultimately making the world a better place, I think we'd have so many less issues here in today's society. Obviously, everyone has their own viewpoints on that, and you could argue that over the next couple decades. But if everyone was simply trying to just do their best in a world where everyone was doing that, it'd be a beautiful place. As a weird answer to your question, my ultimate impact I want to leave on the world is making sure I have good kids who will make their impact on the world as well.
I don't think that's a weird answer at all. So what's coming next? What's on the roadmap as we continue through 2024?
Yeah, 2024 got a lot of goals. If people don't know by now, I'm a very vision-oriented person. Right behind, if I could turn my camera around, if anyone was watching today's episode, you'd see my vision board right on the wall that I'm looking at. It's got things from spiritual goals to adventures to business goals to fitness goals. Doing my first half Ironman this year, trying to see how that feels. And I'm not a big biker, so that's going to be interesting, getting on the bike for the first time. But then, yeah, currently working on my first tech startup. All my businesses in the past have been focused around service-based. So I'm doing service now, but service as a software. And so working on that right now, trying to take that off the ground, and we'll see how far it gets us.
Awesome. So you can find out more about Brandon over at his Linktree, which you can find at linktr.ee/getoveryourself_podcast. Of course, I'll have a link to that over in the show notes as well. Brandon, anything else you'd like to share with the listener?
Everyone, thank you for listening. I know Scott has an amazing show, and hopefully I was able to drop a couple pieces of information that you could apply into your life. But if anyone ever has any questions, wants to reach out, I'm not as hardcore as I may sound. I will communicate with you. I'm happy to share any information you would like. And likewise, if you ever need somebody to buoy you up and just get you going on your journey, I would love to be there for you. One of my favorite things in life is just inspiring people, just like Scott here, too. Get action, start taking action inside of your life. So if you're looking to start a business, if you're looking to become more fit, if you're looking to become the best student on earth, if you're looking to be the next religion guru, I would love to help you on your journey.
Awesome. Thanks so much for listening to the Inspired Stewardship Podcast. As a subscriber and listener, we challenge you to not just sit back and passively listen, but act on what you've heard and find a way to live your calling. If you enjoyed this episode, please do us a favor. Go over to inspiredstewardship.com/iTunes rate, all one word, iTunes rate. It'll take you through how to leave a rating and review and how to make sure you're subscribed to the podcast so that you can get every episode as it comes out in your feed. Until next time, invest your time, your talent, and your treasures. Develop your influence and impact the world.